Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. This is Michael Rice, your co-host. And I think I might hear Jeannie in the background. I assume you were having some technical difficulties, Jeannie.
I am here.
Oh, cool. It's all yours.
So we welcome everybody to the show with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm the co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us. And we welcome you to the show. Today is Tuesday, March the 31st, 2015, last day of the month. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. It's all yours, Michael.
Thank you, sweetie. Well, we'll have to figure out an April Fool's joke for tomorrow, tomorrow being the 1st of April. And we're delighted everybody's here. Welcome. We're honored. We're blessed that you choose to join us each day, that you choose to join us as we, this ancient technology of forgiveness that just so powerfully blesses those who have the opportunity to tap into it and to put it to work in their lives. You know, yesterday I was talking about the idea of reality being a construct in the mind. We've been talking about that, of course, for 5 years now, but recognizing it on a new level. And as I talked yesterday, I spoke about the idea that, you know, even the CIA is telling us that reality is a construct, perception is a construct in the mind, that it doesn't exist outside of us, but rather exists inside of us, constructed by what's going on inside of us, interacting with what's happening in the world. And I was talking about the idea that when I make the pictures in my eyes, you know, the picture that I paint on the inside of my eyeball, when it's created out of this awesome presence of love that human life is, then I literally shine a light on the world that tends to bring healing to the whole world. And as I was thinking about that, that's kind of a new piece of the puzzle for me to realize. I was ruminating on that and realizing that, the people who used to talk about giving others the evil eye were speaking the truth, because the pictures that we paint on the inside of our eyeballs are a reflection of the energies that we use to paint those pictures. And when we paint a picture on the inside of our eyes, our perception is based in hostility or fear, or our perception is based in love, we are literally, so to speak, spraying that person or those people in front of us with that energy. So those who were sensitive to energy, when they got the evil eye, were talking about something very real, that the energy that the person who was looking at them was holding for them was that of some form of hostility or fear. And when we recognize that, then we have the opportunity to really, truly start to change the contents of our minds. And when I spray everybody around me with my human life, my perception based in the active presence of love, then what happens is they get a different experience than me. I tend to create a different result out of that energy which is moving inside of me and literally touching everyone. There's a pretty awesome example of that in the animal realm, where there are these two gentlemen who had found a cub, a lion cub, at Harrods department store in London, bought this lion cub and took it home, raised it. The lion cub gets too big, and so they send it off. They make arrangements, they crate it up, and they send it off to a preserve in Africa. And in that preserve, of course, the lion cub is housed there. They've got a tag on it. They track this lion cub, and about a year later, they decide they want to go see their pet lion, to which the people who run the preserve say, "You're crazy. This lion is now a wild beast. It would kill you." And they insist they're going to come and see it, so they get on an airplane and go to Africa. And the preserve people have the lion tag, so they know approximately where it is. And so you see these two guys in this video, and you can pick the video up on our website. You see these two guys in the video out there calling their lion, and the name of the lion is Christian, and they're calling Christian. And finally, this lion comes, you know, galloping down the hill at them and jumps up on them and just hugging on them, licking on them, kissing on them, and all of that, which is pretty interesting. But the most interesting part of the process is that the lion then, or pardon me, the mate of this lion, which is a totally wild female, comes down the hill with them. And I suspect that, you know, this lion, Christian, didn't say to his spouse, you know, "Gee, dear, don't eat these people, they're friends of mine." But this male lion obviously creates a different space than this female would have approached these two guys in, and it's right there in the video. You know, this female has never been exposed to humans, literally walks over to them like a large kitten, rubs against their legs, and allows them to pet her, holding a space, a different energy. And I suspect that when we recognize that, of course, we'll set up attack or we will set up support, depending on what we are structuring our perception out of. And so we'd love to have people's thoughts on that. If you have any questions, if that makes sense to you or doesn't make sense to you, we'd love to hear from you. And beyond that, Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Awesome. Anything exciting in your world?
Well, looking forward to another support group tonight, and was just working with someone this morning about going in and rewriting negative memories with the practice of focusing on joyful, loving memories and realizing, just as you were talking about, how I'm creating every moment, I'm creating my perception. So if I'm in the middle of experiencing something that comes from brain cells from 10 or 15 years ago, or even longer, it's a really good thing to understand that if it happened 10 or 15 years ago, it's not happening now anywhere except in my experience, in my brain cells, in my images that I'm creating. And that's a real powerful tool. The recognition of that process and the training in how to use the reality management tool to dismantle those realities from the past that left me feeling less than love, because when I activate them today, they feel as real to me as they did when they first happened. And the truth of the matter is, it was a lie then, and it's a lie now. And if I dismantle the lie, I get more direct access to the truth, which is that loving energy you were referring to. And I was working with somebody on that this morning, and it was quite a liberating concept. So that's my offering for today.
Cool, yes. And, you know, the recognizing that we're setting things up, then, and realizing that the mind can't tell the difference between a real and an imagined experience, something imagined from the past, if we don't put it in the category of, oh, this is something from the past, then the mind will tend to create more seemingly real pain in this moment, when the truth is, all that I'm experiencing is a memory of pain. My mind can't tell the difference in those two. I have to tell it. It can't tell me. And so that's, I think, a really important piece of the puzzle for people to recognize, that as I go back through and I re-experience and I let go of those things from the past, they will come up presenting themselves as real present moment experiences, but they really aren't. And as I realize that, I'm able to dissolve them with ease, because all I have to do is bring love present to them, and they're going to tend to fall apart. They're going to tend to dissolve. So it's a pretty exciting project. And you know, I know that you have, and I have, and Jeannie has watched people with just some of the most dramatically disastrous, painful experiences in their minds, and they've suffered from those experiences for years and years and years and years, decades in many cases. And then when they realize, oh, this is a memory of pain, they literally dissolve it in seconds. Dissolved, done, gone, finished. And certainly having the technology do that is pretty exciting. I certainly, for one, feel so blessed to have the opportunity to share that technology with people and, you know, get to do my life around. I mean, it's like, how cool is that? It doesn't get better than this.
Well, the other thing that I would offer today is the gratitude I have for people like Angela and Kim and others who've called and picked up the tools and in a relatively minuscule amount of time have transformed their lives.
Yes.
And then they share their stories on the internet or in private messages with people and open the energy window for lots of others to do that. As you like to quote from Course in Miracles, when you are healed, you're never healed alone, and millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you've done today. And I have had occasion to share a few of the testimonials, and of course, I forget when it was, it might have been last Friday when Kim called in, and she had been so recently exposed to the tools, and yet had already done 25 worksheets. And it's, you know, I just wanted to express gratitude to those people for doing their work and then sharing their testimonials on this show and in other places, because it is the kind of thing that helps open the energy window for a lot of them to do their healing.
Yes, and Kim will actually be doing their first support group tonight at Unity in Sebring. So anybody's in the Sebring, Florida area, if you want to head to the Unity Center there at 6 o'clock, Kim will be running a support group. And the church bought a set of DVDs for them to work with. And so things are moving forward there. It's exciting to watch more and more people catching on more and more quickly and getting started and putting the tools to work. And I mean, Kim was just awesome. And she just picked it up and she's like, I'm going for this. As you say, she's done it. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Well, let's check in with Jeannie and see if she has anybody in the chat room with anything that we should know about, would be able to chew on.
Or have a
Rex
hand up.
Had, oh, cool. Well, maybe it'll be Rex. He was going to call back in and continue the conversation from yesterday, so that would be awesome. So let's check
There's
in with
There's a little bit of wind in
phone.
Your microphone.
Okay.
All right. It's area code 541. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Rex from Ashland, Oregon.
Hey, there you go, Rex from Ashland, Oregon. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
Rex
How are
spelled,
you?
Rex spelled J-U-L-I-E, right?
Right.
cool.
Yeah,
so how are you today?
Yesterday. I'm wonderful, and I just want to thank you for so many, many times that you give such good support, and I get it, and I go to the place of healing, and it works. And you and Rex and Dr. Tim were all talking about, I guess, basically empathetic healers yesterday. And
yes.
I just wanted to say, last Thursday I called in, and I was concerned about people canceling appointments with me, and you know, and you, I still have to go back and listen because you just kind of keyed in with me for me, and it was as if you were totally empathetically tuned in, and yet I know that the healing occurs when I do the work, and I came out of it very empowered feeling, and I got lost in the conversation because you had keyed in so directly to my communication issue. And anyway, what happened while you were talking is these people texted me finally and communicated with me finally. So I wanted you to know that there was an immediate result. And what was really more important is that I had no idea that what I was really upset about until I did interact with you. So, you know, in line with what you and Rex and Dr. Tim were talking about with empathetic healers, you know, the good ones and the not so good ones, and it's basically a matter of honesty, you know, and I trust you. I know you are as honestly inclined as you could possibly be, and you're always honestly looking for the next thing to be honest about in your life. And yet I also know that, you know, I need to take that honesty and do the work myself. So you're not taking credit and you're not powering over me with your greater knowledge to me, who then would become dependent on you for it, you know, and I think that's a huge difference.
Everybody has to do their own work. And actually yesterday our conversation was more about people who call themselves empaths and want to tell others and believe themselves that they're feeling somebody else's feelings. That was really more the topic of the conversation yesterday. And
yeah.
Any good support person, anybody in the helping profession, is going to be tuned in on some level, some more, some less, to the ability to really energetically get where people are at. And the only way we can get where people are at, especially if it's, well, it doesn't matter, the good, the bad, or the ugly, is because we've been there. And as I said yesterday, I can look at this issue that, you know, might be yours and or might be totally mine from one of two perspectives. And one is going to be, you know, that of I've been there, so I can recognize it or at least feed back to you that this might be what's going on. And then you can either take it on and tap in and say, yeah, that fits, or it doesn't. Or, and I can do that having worked through it, or I'll go into my own upset. And, you know, many people in the upset world of so-called empaths want to really enter into the denial that they're feeling something outside of themselves or feeling someone else's feelings. And, so that was more the conversation, mm-hmm. but the empathetic
right.
healer. And, of course, I've seen you do that, too, tap into
mm-hmm.
somebody and be there. I saw you in teacher training do that a couple of years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh.
You did.
You mean during
you
that
think about
bit?
That presentation that you – just think about that presentation you and Bill did and how
yeah. –
I mean, you guys were so empathetic with each other. You were so tapped in and tuned into each other. It was just like – you know, it was like a play that had been written and practiced 1,000 times. You know, that's the same
oh,
thing.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was good. Well, anyway, I'm in good shape today, and I do appreciate your support and Dr. Tim's support. And I say that with, like, not a well, I'm saying that uncodependently, which I do carry codependent energies, but I am really learning to take your support and really use it in an empowered way rather than just needing it and clinging to it kind of a thing. So thank you.
Cool. Glad to be on the
maybe
team.
Rex? Yeah, is Rex around? He said if he was available, he'd call in, I think.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so thank you, and I love all your work.
So do we have 517? Jeannie? Hello,
I'm looking
Jeannie.
Down the list. Rex, if you're on there, press 1. I don't see him.
Okay. Well, he's liable to have had a client pop in, so.
Hey, Jeannie, I'd like to mention that I believe that the work you're doing with women is resonating and rippling out, because I have had some things that have come up that are ready for healing, percolating up, and it's awesome. I just trust the process that, you know, whatever's up is up, and I just want to thank you for your work, too.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I'm going to go, and you carry on,
all right?
All right,
be blessed.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Two things, Michael. First of all,
yes,
we didn't share yesterday about our impromptu workshop that we did for
oh,
a group
true.
Of
yeah.
people. And then there's some comments in the chat room that I'd like you to address. But you want to talk about our
cool.
workshop first?
Sure, yeah. We were on the road. We finished up in Sebring, and on Friday, Saturday morning, we were heading up to High Springs, and the folks who own the hotel that were doing the workshop, the teacher's training. By the way, your partner Bill is going to be in teacher training, Julie. Anyway, the woman who owns the hotel, she and her husband own a farm in Hudson, Florida, which is a couple hours out of the way from where we were going, and we had no thought of heading in their direction. And when I talked to her, I just had this really strong intuitive hit that we should go and see their farm. So we did that. We drove over to Hudson, Florida from Sebring, and they've been there 5 years, and you know, they started out with a sand base, I mean just plain sand, and they've really built the soil and are just doing some awesome things. But they had a number of woofers, and woofers are people who just travel around from farm to farm and do organic gardening as volunteers, and they get room and board in return for coming and working on a farm for a day or a week or a month or a year, whatever time they're there. So we got talking with a couple of these woofers, and it was just obvious that we were supposed to do a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. So Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, we got together, and there were a dozen young people there, kids mostly. One man who's probably in his 60s, who's a Vietnam vet, who had been introduced to the work before by Sarah and kind of poo-pooed it, you know, I'm too screwed up and don't bother with me. And so he showed up at the workshop, and actually she's tried to get him to do worksheets, and he was just like, I'm not doing this. This is stupid. Karen did a worksheet. We did an intermission, and after the intermission, he had to go off and take care of something, and he just came right back and was right there, and it was just awesome. When we finished the workshop, there was a gal who shared with us that she'd been there for 11 weeks, and she was from Tunisia, and she actually
Morocco.
Was heading for pardon me?
Wasn't it Morocco?
No. No, there was a conversation about going to Morocco, but she was actually from Tunisia. And she shared that the night before, when we were finishing up in Sebring, you know, Sarah had introduced her to the forgiveness process and the tools, and she had just lamented that there was something missing, that she just, you know, didn't get the whole thing and wished she could do more of this work. And so she shared that, she put out that call, and it was the next morning when this, I mean, it was just such a strong inclination to head over, and we ended up doing the Y workshop, a four-hour Y workshop for about a dozen kids, and it was just, it was really powerful. And the young man who, or the older gentleman in his 60s, still a young man, who's a Vietnam veteran and been through a lot of hell in his life and still doing post-traumatic stress disorder, at the beginning of the workshop, he had said, well, you know, nothing can help me. I'm too screwed up. And I don't put my hand on his shoulder and said, you know something? This tool handles any kind of screwed up you can imagine. There's no such thing as too screwed up. And so he went through the workshop. At one point, he was almost in tears in the workshop. And it was just, you know, I mean, life doesn't get better than this. So it was fun. It was fun and exciting. Anything for you to share about it, Jeannie?
No, I just, I enjoyed it. I thought it was just really cool how we were actually, we had stopped by there to visit, and we were sitting down to have dinner and just talking about it. And the subject of us going over to a Buddhist retreat in Oregon came up, and we were talking about presenting the workshop to the students that were there. And I said, it'd be kind of like us presenting, you know, here to your woofers. And Sarah just jumped all over that one, and she's like, yeah. And you agreed to do it, and she set up a time, told them all to be there at 9:30, and it was just like wham, wham, it just happened. It was just awesome.
It was. It was pretty cool. And if you look on the website, if you happen to be in Hudson, Florida, next Sunday, starting at 3 o'clock, she's going to be starting her support group. So another support group in little town of Hudson, Florida, in a farm out in the boonies. So it's awesome to see, to watch how she grows. So is there something in the chat room, honey?
Yeah, we're having some conversation about things being, you know, that you can't say it's good or you can't say it's bad, that everything just is, everything's perfect. And I said, no. I said, you know, we need to watch our words, even though different cultures and different people will use words with different meanings, that our words actually tell us, you know, what we need to look at and whether it's an integrative or disintegrative energy. And, you know, they were saying that, you know, a lie isn't bad. You can't classify it as bad. And I said, it's not an energy that builds you up or is good for you. And so it's, and they're like, well, we're getting too tied up with the words and instead of what's really being meant, and that, you know, we learn from each other. And I agree with that. But I think it's very important, you know, and I said, I understand that in what you believe, you know, that everything is perfect and okay. And it's also tied in kind of with, you know, that the world is all, we're all one. And so you can't say there's something wrong with one person because it's part of you. And so I think it goes back to you talking about that, yes, we're all one, but that we are individualized. And
yes.
So when somebody does something that's off target, it's not, you know, not necessarily that I put the energy into what they did being off target. Yes, what they do impacts me. But, you know, can you kind of address that? It gets a little bit confusing for me.
Sure. Actually, it's pretty easy. There are energies that support life and energies that don't. Now, if an energy comes along that doesn't support life, if I stay connected to love, can I make use of that? Yes. Does that make it good? Do I need to? Well, I can make it useful or good, but the fact is it's energy that's off the mark. You know, I challenge the person who says everything's perfect to tell me that, cancel the thought as somebody sliding a razor blade across their throat. I'm sorry, but I don't believe the person who's in their head playing the game of everything's perfect would say, yeah, this razor blade feels really good in my throat. Carry on. You know, I mean, that's just baloney. The fact is, there are energies that support life and energies that don't. And, you know, I don't think we need to apply the term good or bad, but we could apply the term to those that are destructive to life bad and those that are constructive for life good. And if we stay connected to the the high side of life, the constructive side of life, or the active presence of love, I think we can make a positive, we can create a positive result out of that which does not support life. But that doesn't mean we need to go around saying, oh, it's okay, go ahead, slit that guy's throat, because that's perfect. I just think that doesn't make any sense to me. So, to each their own, but if it's your throat that the razor blade is sliding across, I don't think you're going to say it's perfect. I think you're kidding your own mind. I think you're telling yourself a story, and probably because there's a part of your mind that holds some things that maybe you've done that aren't so perfect that you'd rather not look at. So if you can just say it's all perfect and I don't have to go back and look at the things that I did that maybe aren't so perfect, that maybe were destructive to life. And so it can be a good way to slide over and stay in denial instead of, let's take the thing you brought up, honesty. You know, I lied to somebody and when I lied to somebody, it did damage to them. I don't think anybody can say that's a good thing to do. Again, if it happens to me, can I make good out of it? Yes. But thank you very much. I'm not going to go around seeing I can find every liar on the earth and say, oh, well, go ahead, lie to me. Go ahead, rip me off, and we'll call it perfect. I mean, it just doesn't, that's what makes life struggle and difficult. And if we can get people to stand in the space where they are in integrity and support life, then their lives and the lives of the people around them are going to go well. And so that would be my take on it.
Thank you. So our call number is 646-200-4169. And press 1. That puts you in queue to talk to us. And I've scanned down through the numbers, and I still don't see Rex on there. So I don't think he is with us today.
He's probably with a client then. Hopefully he's just so booked up that his hours are filled, and that's awesome. That will mean he's got lots of abundance, and that's a good thing. And so 646-200-4169 is our calling number. If you had been at a workshop where I presented this idea of whatever I paint the picture on the inside of my eyeballs with, when I look out through it, I'm spraying that energy on whoever I look at, whether the energy is loving, caring, or whether it's the quote-unquote, what has been called in the past, the evil eye. Would you have a question about that? Would that be something you'd want to know more about or have some thoughts about? Then we'd invite you to call the number, push 1, and let's have a conversation. If you're in the phone queue and there's something we can support you with, questions, thoughts, ideas on the worksheet, any of the tools that we teach, we would love to hear your voice. That always makes the show much more alive and move in a direction that I think serves life on a higher level. So if you push 1, Jeannie will be watching. It'll put a little hand up in the control panel, and she'll know that you have something to say to us. We'd love to hear from you. And if, sometimes people are in the space of, my voice is shaky, I'm afraid to be on the radio, I'd be nervous. Well, could you just breathe and cancel your need to have confidence? Let your voice be shaky, let yourself be nervous, and ask your question anyway. It's the best way to get it asked. So we would love to be of support, and we've got about 30 minutes left, so we've got lots of time for conversations. Jeannie, anything else happening in the chat room, or? Anybody with their hand up?
Yes, we do have a hand up, and it's area code 616. You're on the air.
Michael, Jeannie, this is Bill Costantino.
Well, hey there, young man. We're looking forward to seeing you in a very short period of time.
That's correct. And, end of April. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, actually, not quite that long. Well, I think it's the 23rd.
Oh, that's right.
Something like that.
That's right.
Yeah, and did you hear your partner in presentation on the call a little earlier?
No, I just dialed in about 5 minutes ago, so I did not hear.
Oh, well, we were just talking to Julie and talking about how that presentation was, how hilarious the presentation you took out.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. You must have heard the call and
heard something. That's right. So, yeah. Got the echo, right?
Yes, cool. Tell us about what's happening with the support group in Grand Rapids.
Well, it is going. We've been, in terms of getting our feet into the water, we've been doing it on a once-a-month basis, so Sundays at Unity, and on Sunday afternoons, where I think there's going to be a, you know, a better likelihood of getting people into it. But my sense is it needs to be more frequent, for one thing.
I think so.
At least every 2 weeks. So we'll figure that out in terms of what that, how the schedule is going to work in terms of doing it there. But, yeah, there's been just fabulous participation and value for people, which has been, you know, really satisfying and rewarding. So that's all good news. It's unfolding, and we'll go to the next level here pretty soon, actually, which is good.
Fabulous. And over the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about the PowerPoint presentation that you've been creating, and that we'll be making it available online so people have that easy way to go through the whole canceling of the goal and the why and how of it. So I'm excited about that. That's just so cool.
Right. Yeah, that's it's on my radar to have that, have the first draft of the YouTube by the time we meet in Florida. So that's
awesome.
It's on the radar, on the list. Yeah, that'll be.
Well, you know, I've been talking to Dale Allen Hoffman, and it may be that during that time period, during the intensive, Dale may come down, and I'm hoping it'll come together in that time frame, and we'll do a bonus session that we'll be videoing for the intensive participants on Aramaicisms, and Dale's going to bring his super high res cameras to do that, if that all works out, and so maybe he can even shoot the YouTube while he's there, if that works.
Oh, wow. Wow.
In front of a live audience. Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah, that'd be a whole nother way to do it. Right, it's a live presentation.
Absolutely, wow, absolutely. And, of course, being teacher training, it would be perfect to introduce it to the people that are there to teach. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it would. Wow, cool. That's a cool one. That's a very great, good idea.
It works for Dale.
Yes, of course. Yep. One thing I was wondering if you would comment on is moods. So the where there's this period of a day or two or however long it is, hours, whatever it might be, but it's just sort of a depressed state. There's not necessarily any mental content. There's no memory. There's no image. There's nothing to wrap hands around. There could be random thoughts, nothing pointed, nothing that's actually identifiable as a trigger.
Right.
They again seem to quote pass, but I'm wondering if you could just comment on moods of whatever, depression, sadness, sort of, blank detachment. What's your take on what's going on with those?
Well, my take would be that there are very precise thoughts going on, but that they're dissociated thoughts. It's at an unconscious level, and so one is not in touch with what's moving here, and that would be a situation where I would suggest that the person who's in that state would look at the time period prior to that so-called mood coming on, what was happening. Did somebody diss them? Did somebody, steal something? Was there something that occurred that triggered those brain cells? And then that would be the object of the worksheet. Otherwise, one could do a worksheet on depression, if depression is what's up. And oftentimes, especially if it's, that sort of fleeting, it's there for a day or two kind of thing, then... Mm-hmm. To delve into the hidden part of the mind, to look below the surface, because depression is just a reality, a construct painted on the inside of our eyeballs that, doesn't at that given moment have any particular object of attention consciously, but something triggered it into activity. And sometimes the thing that can trigger it into activity is, I did a powerful piece of work and I hit the next level of vitality. And at the next level of vitality, I can reach into the next piece of work that I need to do that may not be conscious at all, but just the fact that I've readied myself and having hit a new height in vitality, I can go to a new depth of work to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that would be
okay.
My take.
Yeah. Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, Dr. Tim might have some thoughts there, too.
Uh-huh.
Well,
you have
when
any thoughts
comes
for Bill, Tim?
Yeah, when this comes up, I often cite the research from neuroscientists today that estimate that, and I think this is a really conservative estimate. It may be grandiose to think that I'm this aware, but neuroscientists today estimate that if I really focus and pay attention, I will be able to be consciously aware of 5 out of every 100 thoughts that go through my mind. And that's when I'm really focused and paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
So this speaks to, you know, however you want to look at it. Some spiritual teachers say there is no such thing as the unconscious. And I think what they're referring to in that is to say it's not a separate entity. But the processing power of my mind is enormous. And yet, it's only as, you know, the carbon-based memory that Dr. Rice talks about, as a brain, it's simply a storage and retrieval device. And so it's got all of these energies in it that can get triggered on multiple layers all the time. And unless I train myself to be much more conscious and aware, I'm probably only going to be aware of about 5% of the thoughts that go through my mind at any given period. So when I have people come in and they say, I was just sitting there, everything was having a good day, and all of a sudden, wham, I just got hit with this, and there wasn't any thoughts, and nothing happened to trigger it. I bring out this piece of neuroscience evidence and say, chances are really good that's not the first time you ever felt depressed. Chances are really good that's not the first time that you had something happen in your life that you resisted, that you chose to label as bad that you didn't want and push it away. And so that stuff was more than likely bubbling underneath your conscious awareness within your mind. It's not an outside entity coming to get you. It's your mind's own processing. And it's exactly what Dr. Rice just said. That's what I recommend people do. Start looking at what was going on for the hours or two or day or two or week or two before, and engage some of the tools that are available through Dr. Rice and others to help me explore and uncover the unconscious content.
Can
yeah,
I
good.
Add something
Thank
to
you.
This?
Sure.
The first thing that came to my mind was this is one of the things that when I'm working with the women, especially women who have had some kind of a physical or mental abuse. I just muted you, Michael, because there was something beeping on your end. Anyway, one of the things that what brought this to my mind was my own personal experience of blanking out. Like we'd be just sitting having dinner or something, and Michael would be like, you know, hey, where are you? You know, pinning for your thoughts or something like that. And I would say that, you know, there was no thoughts. I just went blank. It was like I just went into another dimension. And so then the more that we were looking at it, it was like, okay, there's something that triggered, you know, back when I experienced a physical abuse, sexual abuse, my coping mechanism or defense mechanism was to actually disassociate. It's a little bit different than what Michael uses as dissociating from, you know, and blaming someone else for what's going on. But it was like I would actually remove myself from my body so that I could withstand what was going on. And so at that level, then it was like, okay, so something triggered me into going away, you know, leaving or whatever. And it wasn't necessary to, at that moment, try to figure out, you know, what was it, but to start looking at the environment, like Dr. Kim just said, you know, what just happened in my environment, you know, did the lights change? Did a certain person just walk by? Did a certain music just come on? And start paying attention to the environment to say, okay, what was the trigger, so that eventually I could get down to what was really the underlying cause of all of it. And that's just a process. And so instead of trying to figure out the whole scenario at one time, just doing worksheets on, okay, you know, I just blanked out while we were sitting at dinner or something like that, and then working into it, kind of like backing into it. But it's a coping mechanism sometimes. You know, even the depression, I think, is a way of, you know, okay, I'll just go into this depression to keep from looking at what's really going on. Or that's one take on it.
Yeah, good. So basically raising awareness to identify a trigger is a very useful exercise.
To identify a trigger, Bill, and also to be able to become more conscious or cognizant and decode the subtle energies, the subtle thoughts that are moving through my mind. I would agree, Tim, with the with those who say there's no such thing as the unconscious mind as a separate entity, because there's no such thing as the unconscious mind, period. It's not a thing. You know, nobody's ever going to cut a body open and find digestion there in the stomach. It's a function of the cells of the stomach. And in the same way, the conscious, subconscious, unconscious are functions of the firing of brain cells. And, you know, for me, when those brain cells are at an amplitude that's below the conscious threshold, then I have unconscious functioning. And oftentimes just a simple act of just, you know, denial is going to cause information to move to that unconscious level. I don't want to look, I don't want to deal, I don't want to feel, don't make me go near this. And so, you know, as I develop the ability to become more aware, then I develop the ability to become more aware. And then, once I'm fully conscious of it, I can, and oftentimes it's people who've been through significant kinds of abuse that will develop that dynamic that Jeannie's talking about, especially. And sometimes the abuse that they've been through is so deeply hidden that they're not even aware of that. And so one of the other ways to tap into, has something like that ever happened, is there any inclination in me to do some sort of abuse? And if there is, then that's usually, you know, okay, what's the dynamic here? What's oftentimes the power person dynamic here that I need to look at, become conscious of, and work through?
Wow. What a process, huh? Unbelievable.
Well, that's the whole idea. You know, it's making the unconscious conscious. It's taking those things that have been firing at a subnormal level that are below the threshold of awareness and being willing to let them come to conscious awareness. And oftentimes, you know, as we started the show out, we were talking about pain and memories of pain. Oftentimes it's because those things were simply too painful to deal with. And so when I let them come forward, they oftentimes come forward with all kinds of crazy energies, rage and guilt and fear and pain and trauma and drama. And so working through it becomes the real game, real healing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, good. Thank you. That helps.
Okay. Awesome. Glad to be on the team.
All right.
And, of course, that's the idea of an intensive, is to get to the point where there's a space of safety and support, and, you know, everybody in the environment. You know, we talked earlier about whatever we paint the pictures on the inside of our eyeballs with is an energy that we're spraying out into the world. And so in a space like a support group or an intensive, if you've got 2 or 8 or 10 or 20 people who are there spraying, holding the space of love and literally spraying that active energy of love toward you, then it becomes easier to be more empowered and to move through those layers.
All right. Well, there will be a space toward the end of April
in Florida.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Very good.
Awesome. Look forward to seeing you.
Great pet to pay. right. Bless you all.
Okay, blessings. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Awesome. We have another caller, and I think it might be Julie, 417. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. This is Julie. You all right? And I do have a question, okay?
Yes.
So, well, I understand what you were talking about with Rex, because you've trained, you know, I've been under your training and tutelage for a long time, and, you know, sometimes I'll be working with somebody, and I'm finding that I'm having difficulty getting a breath of air. And I'll ask them, are you breathing? You know, they're not.
Yeah,
so, you know,
yeah.
You get, you know, support that way. And, of course, if, you know, my throat's getting kind of locked down, I'll say, you know, is there something going on in your throat? You know, maybe, and then they'll say yes, and then, okay, let's open our throat. So I understand what you were, you know, speaking about. The thing that happened to me was a little bit different. I still question it. So I was invited to somebody's house, and they were going to show me something on the internet, a way to, you know, like a way to increase my income by using this particular thing on the internet. And there were two people there, and it was very comfortable. You know, I was sitting there watching this. It was very interesting. The two people were very nice, and, you know, I enjoyed the whole, you know, interaction. My one thing that I would like to give feedback is that these two people have in the past had back challenges. You know, their energy has been stored in their back, and, you know, they've hurt their back and so on. Now, I have processed out, as you know, you've supported me in a few things with my back, lower back and upper back, you know, when I had that thing with the lungs. And however, when I left, I was sitting there and I was feeling uncomfortable, you know, and I thought, I need to change my seat. And so I changed where I was sitting and moved to another chair. Finished watching everything, and I thought, wow, yeah, that's pretty interesting. And then left. And as I was coming home, I was still feeling uncomfortable. Now I walked, you know, a little bit, but then, you know, drove, and no long distances or anything like that. By the time later in the evening, my back was really hurting me, my lower back and, you know, kind of going up in the middle of the back and really, really starting to bother me. By the time it was time for bed, if I would step out of the bed, I would have to hold something to stand up because the pain would just, as soon as I touched the floor, would just jar up, you know, into my back. Now, that lasted about a week. I did worksheets on it, and I was thinking, wow, my back going up there, prior to going up there, was totally fine. You know, I mean, there was nothing that I could tell that was going on. However, being there, and then coming home and then experiencing probably some real direct energy, you know. And I did some worksheets around it. Well, you know, if I'm in pain, I'm in error. So I was doing worksheets around being, you know, in error. I wasn't sure exactly what my error was. Could have been a judgment. You know, I'm not really sure. Do you have any feedback on this?
My feedback would be that you know, probably whatever energies their back pain is about. You know, we've talked before about Dr. Sarno, who's a medical doctor, who tells us that all back pain is unconscious rage, and runs a pretty high success rate in working with people by working them through their rage instead of cutting on their backs. So if you had pain, of course, now the person who, you know, in our conversation yesterday says, I'm an empath, would say, well, see, I went and I hung out with these people with their back pain, and I experienced their back pain. As opposed to, you know, I went and hung out with those people yesterday, as you're doing, and said, an experience that brought something up in my back, resonated things for me. I am intuitive. I've worked on being intuitive. So thanks for showing me that part of what I need to deal with. And then you went to work on your stuff around it. So that would be my take.
Okay. All right. So
it's one more opportunity to learn forgiveness.
All right. So whatever was resonating, you know, that was just a field there, and I was in that field, and then that was able to resonate to my conscious level for me to address.
Yes. Yeah. So it moves something inside of me, so that I can see what's mine. You know, it's just like someone who who expresses rage verbally, if I have any rage, it's going to resonate my rage. If I don't have any rage, then I'm going to stand in a space of peace and simply be love and be able to support them. If I go berserk in the presence of their rage, it's because their rage has moved something in me that I haven't dealt with. And so, you know, that would be my take.
Okay, so not any, there wasn't any rage going on or anything, any experiences
right,
like that.
Right.
It was a really sweet place. The thing that I got is it was definitely ringing my doorbell. It definitely wanted me to know that this is some energy that you need to address, because it wasn't just a little subtle pain. I mean, we're talking about,
right.
You can get out of the bed and put your feet down without that shooting up your legs. That's pretty amazing.
That's pretty intense,
I never even experienced that kind of thing before. So I guess that I must have been ready, and that environment, you know, healthy enough, ready enough, you know, energetically enough to actually be conscious enough to address it.
Yes. And when you did address it, when you did your worksheet, so what came up for you? What happened? I mean, did you get in touch with anything specific that allowed you to move through it and let loose of it?
Well, it was like guidance, you know, that I needed to, you know, not necessarily take the direction that they were suggesting, that I should take a different direction, but, I'm being, just stay focused on my healing and, to continue.
Right.
That's pretty much, I really didn't, there wasn't anything that surfaced as far as, you know, rage goes. You know, I mean, I'm certainly uncomfortable, and that probably could be an frustration, which is enough for,
So you kind of felt like your body was telling you something.
Yeah, I was looking at it, that I'm getting feedback here, not just necessarily feedback about, you know, the emotion, but feedback about what's going on. Right. I really needed to pay attention.
Sounds like you did. That's awesome.
Yes,
right on track.
Did.
You know, over the years, being up in the front of the classroom, that's the first thing I look at when something starts to move in me is, okay, what's resonating for me, and what do I need to deal with?
Well, I think what ultimately, you know, we have a very interesting culture and a very interesting society, and there's a lot of things that I could get just at. What that was is to support me in staying more focused on my journey and be careful of distractions also. You know, to be aware of distractions and to stay focused.
Yeah. There are definitely lots of distractions out there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I can get distracted. I'm human.
Yeah. All right.
I appreciate the feedback.
Very cool.
I was wondering for a while there.
All right, we appreciate you. Okay, lots of love and blessings. Okay. All right. Well, we're down to just the last few seconds. That was fast. And so we invite everybody to get ready to create the best year yet of your eternal lives, and to move forward in being a blessing to the world, doing your work, passing that work on. We invite you to bring your stranger to the show tomorrow. If you're ready to take your work to the next level, the 12th, 13th, and 14th, if you happen to be in the Gainesville, Florida area, we'll be doing 3 days of free workshops. And then starting on the 17th of April through the, I think it's the 25th or 26th, we'll be doing a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again? At least I will be. And Jeannie, at the same time, will be doing a 9-day Healing the Whole Woman in Orlando, Florida. And then for those who want to carry on beyond that, we'll move into a 3-day training program on using the personal code evaluation, and then a 9-day teacher training. So if you want to come play, we'd love to have you. Give me a call, and make the best year yet of your eternal life. We'll hold you in a blessing. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Continuously, 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 continuously.